All right. Hello, church family. My name is Sam Kim. I get to serve as the youth pastor here. If this is your first time at our church, welcome. We're so glad you guys joined us for a Good Friday today. If this is your first time in a while, welcome back and welcome home. Our church recently has been going through a sermon series through the Gospel of Mark, but because today is Good Friday, we're going to jump ahead a little bit to Mark chapter 15, because Good Friday is a day where we remember and reflect on Jesus' death and crucifixion on the cross. This coming Sunday, in 2 days, on Easter Sunday, Pastor Owen is going to give a message on the resurrection, and so you're not going to want to miss that. And so if you don't have a place to go, please, please come join us Sunday morning to hear part two, because you don't want to miss it. This year's Good Friday, I want to go back a little before Jesus' crucifixion. We're going to read about his trial beforehand, because I think this is really important, and it reveals something that a lot of us kind of miss. Before the self-righteous Jewish leaders killed Jesus, they had to bring Jesus to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And this was because, at the time, the Jews were under Roman capital and authority, and so they couldn't give capital punishment. They had to actually bring them before the Roman government. And so before Jesus' death and his burial on that Friday, there was a trial that took place in the morning. And I want to start there tonight. The trial is actually very, very important. It's not just something that happened to get to the cross. The trial was a part of Jesus' receiving of the wrath of God. And it's important because it helps paint the picture and it helps us to see the gravity and the injustice of what really happened on that Friday. If you don't have the trial, you're not going to see just how messed up that Friday was. And so if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, or you can look at the screen. It'll be up there for us. And the title of tonight's message is To Kill a Good King. Mark 15, 1 to 5, this is God's word. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, You have said so. And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you. Verse 5. But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. In the morning of Jesus' death, Jesus is bound and brought before his judge, Pontius Pilate. The night before this, though, the religious leaders actually brought Jesus before all the other religious leaders to trap and to question him. So this was kind of like a pre-trial trial that Jesus had. They twisted his words, they mocked him, they spit at him, and they even laid their hands on our Jesus. And during this pre-trial questioning, Jesus has the same reaction as our passage today. So this reaction happens twice. This is very important that you have to catch this. He stays quiet. He just takes it. Except one question. Fast forward to our passage, Mark 15, 1 through 5, within Pilate's headquarters, away from everyone else. Pilate does his own set of questioning. And Jesus answers one question. And it's a very similar question to the Jewish leaders' questioning. They asked Jesus if he claimed to be the Christ, the prophesied Savior of God's people. Pilate asked Jesus, Are you the king of the Jews? Then it tells us when Pilate asked about the other claims they accused Jesus of, he becomes silent again. And this is the very, very important detail that we have to find and see in the trials. What's interesting is that it tells us Pilate's reaction to Jesus' response to this one question and his silence for the others. And Pilate is amazed by this because Pilate understands what many of us miss. Pilate understood what this reaction meant. Pilate understood that Jesus agreeing to these two claims alone meant that Jesus was willingly receiving the death penalty. These two claims, falsely claiming to be the Christ, was enough for the Jews to see you as a threat, and claiming to be a king was enough to be seen as a threat to the Roman Emperor Caesar. And yet Jesus only agreed to these two claims. And Pilate hears this and he's amazed because he understands that Jesus was choosing the cross, that he was choosing to willfully die. Pilate understood this. Jesus was ready for the cross. There's a book, it's an old book, called To Kill a Mockingbird. It's an older book, so many of our youth, actually probably all of our youth and our kids in here, probably don't. Do you guys know what a book is? Yeah, you do? Okay. It's a book, but you guys probably don't know this book, unless you guys still read it at school. And this book is written from the perspective of this young girl, which actually, if you read the book, if you know that it's written in the perspective of a young child, it like makes it a lot more horrific, the events that unfold. And the main event that unfolds in this book is there's a black man named Tom who's accused of abusing and taking advantage of a white woman. But he's given a lawyer. He's given a lawyer to defend his innocence. And this good and faithful lawyer keeps urging Tom to hold on to hope. And he also is trying to tell himself, convince himself that there's a chance, that there is hope that this innocent man will be set free. What happens, though, is that Tom, he's so convinced that the justice system is going to fail him because of racial prejudice, that in the night he actually runs. He tries to escape. And they actually find him and kill him on the spot. And a lot of people, they read this and there's arguments, there's debates about, oh, like Tom, he was foolish for doing that. He has no idea. Yeah, sure, maybe, probably, but there was still a chance. But the people don't understand that Tom, for him, he could not handle the pain and the pressure of a probable, unjust, unfair death. And so for him, he took matters into his own hands. He said, I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and I'm going to run because of injustice. I named my sermon today, To Kill a Good King, after this book. Jesus, just like Tom, he was an innocent man. But the thing is with Jesus, he wasn't just innocent, he was good. He was as good as you could be. All he ever did was good. He was a good friend. He healed. He taught. He sought after those who were lost and broken. He embraced, he held people that haven't been held in a long time. This innocent and good man, he also took matters into his own hands. But the difference is that instead of running from injustice, he ran towards it. This good king, the Son of God, he stepped into injustice. The question is why? Why would a good king, a good man, the Son of God, why would he willfully volunteer to die unjustly? It's for you. And it's for me. You see, Jesus had to face injustice so that he could treat us unjustly. I'm going to say that again. Jesus, he had to face injustice so he could treat us unjustly. What do I mean by that? The just thing would have been for Jesus to go free. The just thing would have been for the Jews who were lying and deceiving and manipulating to be humbled and punished in Jesus' place. Instead, Jesus, think about how ironic this is, Jesus, the one who would one day judge all of mankind, was dragged before one man to be judged. Right, the one who would judge everything and everyone, that he would be judged by one. Like, that makes no sense. While all the sinners plotted his death, and in the other gospels you actually see that they refused to go into Pilate's headquarters with them because they were scared that they'd be defiled. They're saying, yeah, go send Jesus, go question him and then kill him, but we can't step into Pilate's headquarters because we don't want to get defiled, because you're a Gentile and you're our enemy. The irony that they didn't want to get defiled, but the Holy One would go in like a sinner, to be treated like a sinner and killed like one. Jesus willfully died an unjust death so that we, you and I, could live justified. To kill a good king, the good king had to silently choose to take our place. That's the only way to kill the good king. If it's his decision, his choice. Some of us in this room tonight, we feel the frustration and the mourning of the injustice of it all. You hear about the religious leaders in the Gospel of Mark, and you see and think of the judgmental church people you grew up with that hurt you and your family. First of all, Jesus understands you more than anybody else. To be unjustly treated by religious people. But, if I may, even before that, what Jesus wants you to understand and know is this, that in his death, in this trial, you and I do not represent those who are treated unjustly. We represent the ones who unjustly treated and killed Jesus. You and I, and it sounds almost crazy to say, but we're not Jesus in this story. Jesus faced this injustice to pay the price of our sins. And he stayed silent because of our sins. And he died because of your and my sins. We're the Pharisees. We're the ones he had in mind when they put him on the cross. Good Friday is only good because though we were not, he was. That's why it's Good Friday. Because we weren't. Secondly, that's not the end. Because once we understand this truth, once we believe and know that it was both because of us and for us that he was unjustly killed, will we finally begin to understand, believe, and know his love for us. But you have to start there. You have to understand that it was our sin that put him there. A good king, bad people. Then you understand his love for us. You know, sometimes I feel like when I'm talking to my youth, they talk a lot about, oh, like, I know Jesus loves me. And there's, like, nothing, zero zeal, zero passion. And And I'm not saying like you always need to be like in tears or whatever, but sometimes I wonder if that represents how we don't understand like how amazing his love for us is, because we don't understand that he first died because of us. And so it starts there. And as you sit in that truth, that man, it's because of us that he went willingly to the cross, when you start to sit in and live by his love. Every other religion in the world teaches that you should serve and die for their gods. And don't get us wrong, there are people who die for Jesus every day. And those people really understand, right, God's love for them. And we are all called to serve our King. But the difference is that only we worship a God who would die for his people. And it's because he loves you and me so much. The question of Christianity is not, would we have killed Jesus or called for his crucifixion? Or it's not, are we good enough for him? The question of Christianity has always been and always will be that he is good and he was killed in our place. And so what are we going to do about it? What do we do with that truth and that love for us? As we spend the rest of tonight praising and thinking about what he did, what was done to him, will you choose tonight to know this King and God who loves you? The God of heaven tonight is not sitting on his throne looking with you at you with disgust and disapproval. He is the God of heaven and also earth. He cares about what happens here. And he waits for his daughters and his sons to come home. So will you stop running? Will you stop feeling shame that's crippling you and just embrace that it was us who put him there? And then live in that love. Church family, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, and good King, we thank you that you are good, not as a bonus, but because we are not. Lord, convict us of that through your Spirit, through the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine. And help us to rise one last time to sing praises from our heart. And we love you and we thank you, but God, more importantly, thank you for loving us so much that you would unjustly die. A good King, the Good Shepherd, the Son of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.